Hey there, it's Will O'Callaghan here from Off The Ball, and before you dive into this podcast, here's one you're going to want to stick in your diary. This coming Friday, Apple Green's annual 24/7 event is back, and for just one day only, they've got loads of brilliant offers across their stores. You can pick up a chicken fillet roll or a breakfast roll for just €2.47, have a car wash for €2.47, or grab a packet of Tato crisps for just 24 cent. There are some great food offers too. You've got Whoppers, selected 6-inch Subway sandwiches, Taco Bell beefy melt burritos, and Chopstick small bite boxes, all available for, you guessed it, €2.47. It's only happening this Friday, so don't miss out. Head along to your local Apple Green store and make the most of these fantastic one-day-only offers. Terms and conditions do apply. And now, enjoy your podcast.
Football on Off The Ball.
The Messi fairy tale in 2022 was absolutely right. Everybody in the world wanted Messi to win the World Cup. Even the opposition players, everyone felt he deserved it. It was been a long time coming.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Now, you're very welcome back. It is the 154th edition of the Irish National Championships this coming weekend. A lot of focus in Santry is going to be on Rashid Adeleke because this is the last stop in terms of getting an individual qualifying time for the European Championships, which are coming up in Birmingham. She's going to be in a pretty stacked 200 metres for it. Charlie Maudsley's there. Lauren Roy, who is currently the fastest woman at that distance this season, as an Irish woman, is also going to be in that race. 22.85 is what Adeleke needs to hit if she's going to qualify for the 200 metres in Birmingham. Delighted to say Carl Denny's back with us on the show. Carl, look, there are some other very interesting races this weekend. We could look at Mark English and Keane McPhillips maybe in a few minutes in the 800 metres. Kieran McGeehan's going to be there on Sunday as well. But a lot of the focus is going to fall on Rashida trying to qualify individually for the European Championships here.
Yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, normally Saturday at Nationals is a bit of a warm-up act. It's a lot of heats. There are a few finals in there, but they're not often the showpiece finals. But really, looking at it objectively, I think this is the race of the weekend, the women's 200 metres, which will be about 3:30 on Saturday. And it'll be live-streamed as well by Athletics Ireland for those looking to catch it on YouTube. And it'll be a cracker. It should be a cracker if everyone shows up. Not always a guarantee at Nationals. Charlene Maudsley is entered in both the 200 and 400. She can take her pick between those. The 400 final is Sunday. Lauren Roy is definitely going for a 100 metre 200 metre double and looks more than capable of getting it given the form she's in, you know, fastest Irish woman over both distances this year. But I think what does give this race just that added flavour and interest is the fact that Rashid Adeleke is not just going for a national title. She's won 3 national titles before over 100 metres. She's never won one over 200. Phil Healy just got the best of her about 5 years ago, was now. So this is a chance at her first national title over 200, but far more important for her probably will be the automatic standard of 22.85 for the Europeans. She's run 22.86 back in April in Texas, but she has had injury struggles, which she went into on her Instagram just last weekend, revealed that she had a hamstring strain back in June. So she's very much playing catch up. You know, it's not where you want to be at this part of the season. She may well come good again. The reports were that she was going well earlier in the year. She was training well, she was healthy. So it's a very annoying thing to have broken down again at a really important part of the season, where if you just lose those few percent, it can be very hard to get it back. But again, she is in a race against time to salvage something from this season. Obviously, every Irish athlete, the biggest event of the year is the Europeans next month. She wants to be there. Even if it's not the very best Rashid Adeleke we've seen, even if she's running 51 seconds, okay, she's not going to be going for the 400, but if it is the 200, I think she's more than capable of getting that standard. It will need good conditions on Saturday afternoon. Hopefully there's a tailwind in Santry. There usually is, but it's no guarantee. So I think if she gets the right conditions, she can run that standard and be on the team. As an individual, obviously she'll have the women's 4x400 metre relay if she wants to go to Birmingham for that. But, you know, an athlete of Rashida's calibre, we've seen it over the years, she wants to be at a championship as an individual. Yes, it probably won't be medal talk, given it's only a few weeks away. But I think after the 2 years she's had, if she could get the standard, get to that championships and just give a good account of herself, I think that would be something important to take from this season.
I would think helpful on Saturday too is if you've got two good pace runners alongside you as well, because, you know, Maudsley and Roy are going to push her all the way in that race. And you would hope if you're trying to set a fast time, just the fact that if you look to the lane either side in your periphery vision, there's going to be two speedsters either side of you as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're two very different speedsters. You know, Lauren Roy was flying over 60 and 100 this year. Also, obviously, a personal best over 200, 22.83. She's a student at a different university over in Texas to where Rashida went. And Maudsley is obviously the strength athlete, the 200, 400 specialist. Maudsley will probably be a few metres down over the first 100, but then her last 50, she will be coming back and attacking Roy and Adelecki, whereas Adelecki's kind of an in-between runner, whereas Roy will probably lead the first 100 and then try and hang on. So if all three get to the line at 3:30 on Saturday afternoon, I think it's a brilliant clash, and it's very, very hard to know which way it will go between the three of them, because they all bring different strengths. They're all running at quite a similar level over this kind of distance so far this year. Charlene is 23.0, but she rarely runs the 200. I'm sure she's capable of 22 seconds high for this distance, and we might see that this weekend. So yeah, very interesting clash of styles, and athletes who know themselves, know each other very well. You know, they were on under 18, under 20 teams 8-10 years ago, and now here they are racing off for a national title with some big stakes on the line in terms of the Europeans, especially for Adelecki.
Yeah, you've mentioned Rashida Adelecki's form, and I guess how much of an impact injuries have had. We waited for so long for her to come back, and then she didn't necessarily sparkle at the Diamond League, and there's been a few withdrawals over the last while. I guess the hamstring injury in June probably explains a lot of her early form in this outdoor season.
Yeah, I think so. You know, I'd heard that she was going better earlier on this year and was healthy and was training very well. And yeah, it's just so unfortunate to get that hamstring injury, probably missing a few weeks training with that. And it just can take those few percentage edge off you. You know, you're missing the fitness. I think that very much showed up in her return over 400 meters. She ran at the Eugene Diamond League in Oregon, which is a Nike meet, and there would have been expectation for her to show up there. Even if she was well below 100%, it's very hard to not run that as a Nike athlete. You're very much expected to. So that's, I'd imagine, the main reason she got on the start line there a few weeks earlier than she was probably comfortable with. And obviously for Rashida, it's a measure of her ability that 52 seconds is a disappointment for her. It always will be, given the class that she has as someone who's run 49.0. That is a bit of an ocean, really, in terms of a difference. But it's a reflection also of the struggles she has had over the last year or two. You know, she mentioned various injuries last year that just kept popping up, kept her unable to train, which is not unusual. You know, you look at Sophie Becker, her teammate from Paris, has had on-off injuries really for the last 2 years and is struggling to reproduce the same form. And funnily enough, Sophie Becker is chasing the 400 meter standard on Sunday. That's her last chance of making Birmingham. She needs to run 52.20 or faster to get there. So yeah, I think in terms of Rashida's journey back, you know, if she could get to Birmingham, it would be a success really at this stage for the season. And it's one of the cruel aspects of athletics that, you know, I would wager that Rashida is doing all the same things now, perhaps even more work, and it's even harder now than she was doing in 2023 and 24 when she was just lighting it up seemingly effortlessly. But you're not getting the return. And also, there was such a bandwagon around Rashida in 2023 and 4 where her public kind of profile almost outstripped her achievements to that point. Like, she's an athlete who had achieved similar to sort of Kieran McGee and Thomas Barr, but developed a level of fame in Ireland and a level of attention that kind of superseded either of those, to the point where it's kind of acceptable, it's tolerated when you're going well. But obviously when you start hitting injury problems and you're running below par, I imagine that's a difficult thing to do with. And I imagine, you know, she's a professional athlete, she's 23 years old, she'd be more than capable of going out there this weekend. But at the same time, I would imagine that that's not the easiest thing to do, to come home 2 years after those nationals at Paris Olympics, and there was a record crowd that year. There was 7,000 people in Century, which just doesn't happen at nationals. And it was primarily there for Rashida. And now she'll be going back to the same stage. Won't be as big of a crowd because it's on the Saturday, which is probably no harm. But again, just a lot of attention will be on her. And, you know, whether it's external or internal, she will be carrying a bit of pressure to that start line to try and produce the results she wants.
Yeah, it's a difficult thing for any athlete because the public will naturally get caught up in a storyline. And when Rashida Adelecki got to a final in Paris, naturally people start to think, because she's so young, it will naturally follow that her trajectory will continue to be upward and she's going to be competing for a medal in 2028. That's almost what you take the moment that she comes off the track in Paris. Maybe she's insulated from that hype somewhat by Coach Flo and being over in Texas and you get away from home. But the reality is she will have been very aware that next thing expectation are cranked up to a whole new level after Paris.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you look at it and look, there's various strands to this, and like Irish society, I think you can tell in the media as well that I suppose there's a certain responsibility in terms of like obviously there's a big public interest in Rashida, so you want to report what's happening in her career and kind of fulfill that public interest or keep them updated. But there is also like an element of the kind of whole political debate and the changing face of Ireland that rears its quite ugly head anytime people post stories or air features on Rashida in the comment section. And obviously that's a small percentage who are making those comments, but what you find is that I think the vast majority, the 90-something percent of Irish society, kind of pushes back against that and adds more support and towards Rashida for that. But I think it creates this sort of a tension. It's like a lightning rod for debate, even if all she's doing is getting on the track and running a race, which is kind of unfortunate to see, but it's something that she is carrying and I'm sure is like not particularly wanted, especially in the times where you're just not going as well as you want to be going. And she has struggled since 2024 to reproduce those same performances. But I think the key thing to point out here is that struggle at this age, you know, 22, 23, 24, it's completely normal. Obviously, you don't want it to happen. You want the dream progression from talented junior to successful senior. She had that until the age of 21. Now at 22, 23, she's hit some injuries. But like the exact same thing happened to Ciara McGeehan, Sarah Lavin. You could name so many other successful seniors who kind of lost a few years as they had to transition to that real high level senior training with a body and a mind that's still growing and developing. So I think it's no surprise that Rashida has had a year or two like this. It's to be expected. There probably will be a big debate, given it's the second straight season that she's not quite where she wants to be, about whether to stay in Texas or not, or whether another option is going to be better on the path to LA. But I think there's very few people, I think, inside Rashida's closed circle. It's necessarily, I would say, a very small circle. And I think those outside that are kind of not really aware of very much of exactly what's happened with her. So I think it'll be interesting to see, though. I think you could only really make an assessment on this year when she gets into mid to late September and you can look at it as a whole and see how well she has come back from that hamstring thing. At the moment, it's too early to say, but I think this weekend and that 200 metres at Nationals is going to determine a lot, because ultimately it will determine whether or not Rashida is in Birmingham as an individual or not.
In the grand scheme, how important is the European Championships for her? Because I would think most athletes, as important as Europeans are, majors don't come around all that often. She would probably swap good form in 2027 and 2028 over having form in the middle of an Olympic cycle. So how important are the Europeans for her, really?
I think, yeah, like for an athlete like Rashida, I think you see that as you get up to the kind of real medalist and, you know, athletes who can win medals at global championships, that the Europeans start to become slightly more important for a select few. And I'm thinking here of Josh Kerr, you know, just set the mile world record. He probably won't go to the Europeans, even though it's in Birmingham next month, because he's focused on other championships this year. So you do see occasionally, but I mean, 99% of the best athletes in Europe do go to the Europeans. And I think it is just something that has a lot of prestige. Rashida obviously won the silver medal 2 years ago over 400 metres and, you know, helped the mixed relay to gold, the women's relay to silver. She will very much want to be there. And I know, even talking to Coach Flo before, he was very conscious, even as an American based coach, a lot of the American coaches kind of don't understand the importance of the Europeans. But I know that Coach Flo was very conscious in 2024 of how much they mean to Ireland and how much it also meant to Rashida. So I think if they were not important, if they were not a priority, you wouldn't be seeing Rashida Adelecki taking shots at this 200 meter standard. Like last week in Switzerland, she would probably take things a bit easier. But, you know, she is a racer. This is what she's paid to do. She wants to be out there. So she will very much want to be on the line in Birmingham next month over 200 metres, even if it's only making a semi-final or scraping into a final. But something like that after the issue she had could be something you would just take into 2027 and build on for next year. Because I think, you know, she was below par all last year, missed the showpiece event of the year. And I think coming off that, 2026 was always going to be a bit of a rebuilding year, as it is really for many of those stars of the Paris Olympics for Team Ireland. They're kind of in rebuild mode and gearing up again for LA. And I think whatever happens in the next month or two, I think that decision that Rashida makes, and it will be her decision to make about where she goes next, whether she stays with Coach Flo or goes elsewhere, is the key one in terms of her chances, I guess, of getting back to her very best ahead of the LA Olympics.
Oh, we mentioned Shirley Maudsley, who's going to be in that 200 metres. She'll be hoping to become a multiple discipline champion over different distances this coming weekend. But her deal that she just signed recently, she signed again as a Nike athlete very recently. What kind of difference is that going to make to her career now moving forward, Colin?
Yeah, I think financially it just takes a bit of the burden off because, you know, I think Charlene, okay, since 2024, when the profile kind of really exploded, she would have had brand ambassador deals and things like that. But having a professional contract, one, it's almost like a status symbol in athletics. If you show up on that start line with the Nike gear, you know, everyone knows you have to be contracted to get that specific gear. I think it just adds a little bit more confidence when you're on a start line alongside the fastest women in the world. Also financially, you know, it's just, it wouldn't be astronomical, the amount of money. She won't be like buying a house just because she's got that contract, but it would be something that together with her Sport Ireland funding will just make life a little bit more comfortable, because on the road to LA, Charlene won't have to worry about the extra physio appointment, worry about the new pair of shoes, worry about the cost of a warm weather training camp in Portugal, things like that. It just makes it a little bit easier. So she can truly commit fully. And I think, yeah, that will add some value. And I think, you know, you're probably already seeing that in her performances. The performances are what earned her the contract, but I think the contract will also help fuel those performances.
Oh, for sure. One I mentioned at the outset, and one I'm really looking forward to when I saw the start list for this weekend, Mark English, Keane McPhillips, bulking up against each other. Like, we've been tracking English just breaking records along the way, and now Keane McPhillips is there neck and neck with him all the way along. We saw how good McPhillips was at the Worlds as well. And this should be pretty intriguing if both of them really go for it this weekend.
Yeah, it's a cracking matchup. It's two real titans of Irish athletics on the international stage. I mean, Mark English has 5 European medals. Keane McPhillips is a 142 man and 4th in the world final this year. And he beat a couple of serious American athletes indoors as well. And it was looking like he would have been contending for a medal for sure at World Indoors back in February. But he picked up, it was a dental issue, and it was quite a nasty thing that cost him a few weeks, and he needed a procedure. And then I think he had a knee problem just after that. So for the second year in a row, he's playing catch up. But the example here is to go back to 2025. He was out for about 3 months in the spring last year. He cross-trained the soul out of himself on the elliptical and things like that for a few months. And then he came back and he came good so well in September, and he really benefited from that late World Championships. He's kind of in the same boat again this year. He opened with a 144 last month, 143 recently in London last weekend. He was a full second behind English there, but I think what was notable was that it was a step forward. And each of these 3 weeks or so before the Europeans, he'll be getting fitter with each of those weeks if he stays healthy. And I think we'll see him much more capable of contending with Mark English in 3 weeks' time when they get to the Europeans, as opposed to this weekend, because it just does look at the moment like English is just that bit further down the line in terms of his fitness. He's had a very consistent, brilliant season. First time under 143 last weekend. And I think especially in an unpaced race, Mark English is very difficult to beat. Like, if you're as good as him, you lose to him. You have to be better than him to win. And there'll be no pacemakers. English has the superior kind of 200-meter, 400-meter speed, which will be essential on that second lap. And obviously just this vast reservoir of tactical awareness. He's won 19 national senior titles in total. English, he's 33 now. 10 of them are outdoors, 9 of them are indoors. McPhillips has won just one. That was the indoor title 2 years ago. But obviously we know all about his caliber. So it'll be very interesting to see what happens. I think if McPhillips is to win this, he probably have to try and get a jump on English, try and steal a few meters before the last bend, because I think if you turn into that home straight level or a meter behind English, I think there's no way he beats him. But I think it's just going to be riveting to watch that tactical kind of chess match unfold in terms of the way they will be looking at each other on Sunday.
Yeah, I would think as well, this is no bad thing for the twilight of Mark English's career either, to have a guy come and pushing him this hard, because for a long time really it was Mark English up against Mark English's own records when it came to this distance, and now he knows that he's got a top class operator in the same field.
Yeah, and that is fueling Mark English for sure. I mean, it was obviously one of the most painful moments of Mark English's career, probably the most painful moment last year in Tokyo. You know, it's the luck of the draw sometimes in the 800 metres. It's 3 semi-finals, only the top 3 go through. Only the top 2 go through. He got drawn alongside 2 Olympic medalists. So if you reverse the semi-finals in Tokyo, there is a chance that even though Keane McPhillips won, he might have got knocked out if he was in English's semi, and English could have maybe even won that semi-final and got through. But obviously that's just ifs and buts. The reality is that Keane did something that Mark has never done, which is make a global final for all of the European medals and all the achievements Mark has. He's never done that. And then, of course, in that final. He ran 142.15 to finish fourth, which was, again, three Olympic medalists beating him. As an individual one-off performance, that probably was better than anything Mark has done in his career, but Mark's career stands alone, really. Five European medals, 19 national titles, so many Irish records. So it very much is the long reigning king of Irish 800 meter running. I think it's 15 years since he won his first national senior title, and he's still there, probably still adding to it this weekend. But it is against, you know, the upstart who is trying to take that throne. And I think that'll be fascinating. I think it's around 7:30 or so on Sunday evening. You can catch that on RTE2.
The entries as well are in for the women's 800 metres and 1500 metres. So Sarah Healy, who's been just so consistent Diamond League performer over the last few years, has been incredible. Sophie O'Sullivan also entered for both. Is there a possibility we see both of them going head-to-head in both races?
I think they won't do both. I think they tend to, what athletes do in these middle distance races often at nationals is they're expected to run nationals. You're supposed to run it. You can get a dispensation if you have a good reason not to run it, but I'd expect they'll both be there. And what you see athletes do typically is enter a couple of events in those middle distances, and then during the week, depending on how their training is going, depending on how they're feeling, and depending on what some of their big rivals are going to be doing, sometimes they make their choices appropriately. But Sarah and Sophie have clashed often over the years at nationals. I mean, they went 1-2 at the European under 23s a few years ago, so it'll be fascinating if they do end up in the same race. I think if they're both in the 1500, it will be those two out front on their own coming down the home straight. Lauren Nicholson might be in there as well for a medal. But in the 800, it will be very interesting because you have the likes of Alex O'Neill and Emma Moore is still trying to tick off European qualifications. So I think in the 1500, it will be them 1 and 2 coming home, and it'll be brilliant head-to-head. If they do end up in the 800 together, they will have a lot of bodies around them coming around that last turn, and it'll be maybe 4 or 5 women in contention for the win. So I think that'll be really interesting. I'm not sure what events they're going for yet, but if they do end up together, that'd be a brilliant head-to-head to savour.
Not trying to sell this too hard, but for anyone who is thinking of going to the Nationals, Santry's an amazing place to actually go and watch athletics. There's very few venues I can think of that you can get as close to the athletes as you do there. You're literally on a railings just to the side of the finish line.
Yeah, it's brilliant. And, you know, I think what's great I've seen at Nationals over recent years, for anyone who's listening and has kids and who maybe look up to some of these athletes, I think the athletes are incredibly generous with their time. There are times some have to get out of there, have to get a physio appointment or whatever. But like, I've seen the likes of Thomas Barr and Kira McGeehan and Sarah Lavin stand there for a couple of hours after their race and signing every t-shirt and taking every selfie with the youngsters. So there's great accessibility for anyone to bring their kids along. And, you know, the stand is always full on National Sunday. But I think for those, the diehards tend to sit on the hill. That's just around the first bend. It's beautiful weather. Hopefully we'll be all right on Sunday. And that's a great place to watch as well, because there is for that kind of power couple of hours, really around, you know, it's 6 to 8 p.m. I suppose on Sunday, there is a lot of great finals. And I think what's great this year is that a lot of the stars are going to be there. There's often years where some of the stars are missing their way on training camps. They're getting over injuries, but it does look like the vast majority of the big names in Irish athletics will be there. One that will be missing is Kate O'Connor. She's getting ready for the Commonwealth Games next week, so she won't be there. But so many others. And I think just one other event I should probably mention, the men's 100 metres will be really interesting as well, because Bori Akinola trying to defend his title, but Benji Richardson, who's born in Ireland, grew up in South Africa, ran for South Africa, but has since switched his allegiance to Ireland. He won't be eligible to set Irish records until 2027. I think it's August next year, but he will be eligible for the World Champs next year. He won't be eligible in time for Birmingham, but he's going to be going up against Bori Akinola. And he has run 9.86 and he's run 10.0 something, I think, this year already. So it's going to be very interesting to see. I'm not sure if Israel Olatunde, the Irish record holder, is in there either, but that's going to be a really interesting one as well, because Benji Richardson is a name not many in Irish athletics will know yet. But I think on Sunday, as he goes trying to win his first Irish senior title, I think we'll be seeing a lot more about him in the years to come, given his calibre.
And Kira McGeehan's going to be out running with some of the kids as part of her being celebrated on Sunday. I'm sure it's going to be a lovely moment. She got a terrific reception at the All-Ireland Hurling Final last week, and I'm sure particularly with a stadium full of athletics fans, it's going to be a lovely moment on Sunday.
Yeah, it's a brilliant initiative, a brilliant idea as well. And it's the kind of thing that, you know, if you get it wrong, it can be kind of cringe. But I think it's going to be, it's an idea that is going to be done very well and executed very well. And I think it's, you know, there's such love out there for Kira McGeehan. And that's not an exaggeration, that word, amongst people who've never met her in a way that is so rare, just even my time in Irish athletics, the way the public connect with Ciara McGeehan. And I think that's because of how expressive she is and always was throughout her career. And I think that that was true before her cancer diagnosis. And I think it's very fitting that she is back at Nationals. She will get to run down that track. And I think just feel and experience, however overwhelming it might be in the moment for her, I think it's a beautiful thing that, like, so many in Irish athletics just get to express that to her. Because, of course, she won that European title in June 2024. She went straight to the Olympics. It ended in heartbreak. She didn't get back on the track since. So I think it's wonderful that she will get to get back on track. She's not going to be racing, of course, but she'll be running down the track with a group of kids, so many of whom she's inspired to get into this sport, and that the Irish public will just have a chance to connect with her again. I think so. That'll be a wonderful moment. That'll also happen during the televised window on Sunday evening.
Yep, it'll be a lovely moment. It's going to be a fantastic Nationals, I think, this weekend as well. Carl, thanks a million as always.
Cheers, Will.
Hey there, it's Will O'Callaghan here from Off The Ball. And before you dive into this podcast, here's one you're going to want to stick in your diary. This coming Friday, Apple Green's annual 24/7 event is back. And for just one day only, they've got loads of brilliant offers across their stores. You can pick up a chicken fillet roll or a breakfast roll for just €2.47. Have a car wash for €2.47. Or grab a packet of potato crisps for just 24 cent. There are some great food offers too. You've got Whoppers, selected 6-inch Subway sandwiches, Taco Bell beefy melt burritos, and Chopstick small bite boxes, all available for, you guessed it, €2.47. It's only happening this Friday, so don't miss out. Head along to your local Apple Green store and make the most of these fantastic one-day-only offers. Terms and conditions do apply. And now, enjoy your podcast.